Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. As always, I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. All right, check your fuel gauge real quick, or think about the last time you filled up. Every time we go to the pump, there's a good chance part of that fuel is made from corn, as in corn ethanol. A 10-year-old federal mandate requires that plant-based fuels are blended into our gasoline supply. And that policy has had several unintended and some may say dire consequences.
Our main takeaway is that this is the first study that actually is able to connect how the renewable fuel standard caused these environmental effects. In particular, an additional 300,000 tons of nitrogen being used on the soil.
A new research project is the first to prove that the federal policy intended to promote fuel made from corn, soy, and other plants is harming the environment. The report is titled Beyond Corn, The Drive for Better Biofuels. According to the report sponsored by the National Wildlife Federation, the renewable fuel standard is not working for wildlife. It's not working for our water resources, and it's not working for the climate. All right, here we go with one of the report's authors.
Aaron Smith, a professor at University of California, Davis in agricultural and resource economics.
Professor, looking forward to speaking with you about your new research. I'll just start here. It's the National Wildlife Federation. New research shows the renewable fuel standard and its implementation are fueling an environmental disaster. That is the lead sentence of the new research report. Let's start, before the refutation comes, let's start with what is the renewable fuel standard?
The renewable fuel standard is a federal law passed in 2007 that requires increasing amounts of biofuels to be used as ingredients in our transportation fuel supply. Mainly that means that about 10% of our gasoline now is made from ethanol, which in turn is made from corn.
It seems to me that renewable fuel standard, the legislation, was well-intentioned. Am I overstating that?
Not at all. The renewable fuel standard was intended in large part to help mitigate climate change by reducing the carbon emissions from gasoline consumption.
Okay. Which obviously we all care about. Well, 99.9% of us care about. So where did things get off the rails?
So the goal of this policy was to use ethanol made from corn, which perhaps gives you a little bit of a gain in reduction in carbon emissions, to use that fuel as a bridge to more advanced biofuels that are much cleaner than gasoline, much cleaner than corn ethanol. So those enhanced, those second-generation fuels have not come online. The technology has not yet developed. So instead, what we're left with is corn ethanol. And the problem there is that there are unforeseen consequences of using more corn ethanol, because it means more agriculture, means more land gets converted to use for crops, and that has negative environmental implications that we need to account for.
Okay.
In particular, when you expand cropland, that means that you are taking over habitat that species such as monarch butterflies would have been using. That means that you're now going to be using more nitrogen fertilizer and putting that onto the soil, and some of that's going to find its way into our waterways, and it's going to pollute waterways. It also means that the potential climate change benefits of the policy might not be as great as you thought, because when you reconvert land into cropland, you release some of the carbon that's in the soil up into the atmosphere.
Why have we not seen the second generation technology we were supposed to be striving for?
I think it's mostly just that the technology and the ability for us to be able to manufacture that technology has not yet developed to a point to make it cost effective.
Okay. So you're in your new research findings. It's obvious that we didn't get what we expected with this well-intentioned but misguided and unforeseen, riddled with unforeseen consequences legislation from back in the day. So what were some of the research findings you could pull forward out of the detailed reports, which we will link through to, of course, when people want to do a deeper dive?
Our main takeaway is that this is the first study that actually is able to connect how the renewable fuel standard caused these environmental effects. In particular, an additional 300,000 tons of nitrogen being used on the soil. Additional nitrogen, as I said, means reductions in water quality, pollution of water, 3 million acres converted to cropland that would have otherwise been native habitat and wetlands. And The reason this is relevant now is that EPA is now reviewing this policy, and one of the things that EPA needs to take into account is the environmental costs and benefits of this policy.
Right.
Until now, the EPA's considerations have been mostly trying to weigh the balance between fights between big corn and big ethanol.
Right.
And what we're saying is that EPA needs to bring the environmental considerations front and center. They were, after all, the main goal of policy, and rather than trying to weigh these competitive interests between these two big industries, it should be also considering strongly the environmental impacts of the policy.
What are renewable fuel credits? Because I saw that in your research. I also saw it, of course, in the original legislation when I was doing research for this interview. But can you explain that to us, too? Because I think that's a pad we can jump off of to for our next discussion point.
The way that these policies are implemented is that firms that use renewable fuels earn credits that they can then sell to firms that are required to use renewable fuels.
So it's an economic.
Another way to explain that, I guess, is to say maybe this is a better way to say this. Oil refiners are required to demonstrate that renewable fuels are being used in our transportation fuel supply.
Okay.
The way that happens is that when biofuels get blended into gasoline as an ingredient in our gasoline, it generates a credit. They can then sell those credits to the oil refiners. The oil refiners can then give those credits to the EPA to show or demonstrate that the policy has been complied with.
Is that the pain point for a solution to this misguided policy?
I think it has been the pain point for some participants in the industry. The people on the particularly oil refiners have been complaining that these renewable credits are too expensive for them.
Let's go back to first principles when it comes to the thought of second generation technology. I'm going to ask you to be anecdotal, maybe even 30,000 foot view. What are some technologies in your area of expertise that could be looked into further, that deserve a bit richer and more robust R&D budgets?
So the relevant fuels are known as cellulosic biofuels. So when you in the corn plant, we think of usually of the corn kernels as being used. You can potentially use the corn stalks to make biofuel. You could potentially make biofuel from wild grasses, miscanthus being one that we sometimes hear about, perhaps even wood products. Generally, it's the parts of plants that we don't use for food.
We're speaking with Aaron Smith. He's a professor of agricultural and resource economics at the University of California, Davis. Professor Smith, I guess my final question would have to be, what are your goals and optimistic outcomes when it comes to this legislation, this review, and with your research?
My main goal would be that for EPA to consider the full cost and benefits of this policy, and in particular to bring the environmental concerns to be front and center, rather than the debate being dominated by lobbying efforts from the oil industry and the corn industry.
Yeah, right on. What about dates? I guess that was my penultimate question. My last question would have to be, what are some landmark dates coming up? Does the review period close soon?
It's written into the legislation that EPA has to review the policy at this time. We understand that they're doing it. There's no date that I know of by when they're expected to announce the results of their review. Another thing I can say there is after 2022, EPA has to determine what the new required volumes of biofuel will be. So 2022 does provide one deadline, but they're supposed to do revisions before that.
Okay. Okay. In that answer, you mentioned the nitrogen usage going way, way up after this legislation of the renewable fuel standard went into effect. Let's talk about the increased water consumption. What did you find there?
Substantial increases in consumptive water use for use in agriculture. Some of that is irrigation. Some of that is water that would have found its way into our natural waterways, rivers and streams that is instead being used by plants in agriculture.
So are growers incentivized, economically speaking, to keep crops in rotation instead of retiring them?
One important implication of this policy is that then farmers would typically rotate corn and soybeans one year to the next. With corn prices being increased by this policy, more farmers are planting corn every year. And so you don't get the same environmental impacts and benefits from rotation because there's a higher incentive to grow more corn.
Professor Smith, thank you so much for your time. I'll check in with you later this year to see how we did.
Great. Thanks, Jason.
That was Professor Aaron Smith from UC Davis. We have links to the report called Beyond Corn, The Drive for Better Biofuels, and it was funded by the National Wildlife Federation. You can check the podcast's links, or you can check online for the show notes article. It's at kgoradio.com. Coming up after the break, a new work of fiction that focuses on CRISPR, gene editing techniques that can be used on agriculture, although this one has a twist of unintended consequences and a hint of Elizabeth Holmes.
This brand new corn seed that would create, you know, healthy cow meat was done by a graduate student at Stanford in the book, and it's very feasible the way it could be done. It's real. It reads like science fiction, but it's actually quite feasible.
The author of Bad Seed is coming up next. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please do stick around.